Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Okay. Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. This is your host, Coach Denise, again bringing you the FHS TCA perspective on high school tennis. We have an exciting show today, I think, because we have an exciting guest on, and that's always what makes the show. But before I go into that, I'd like to first remind you that next Thursday, our time will move from 5 to 5:30 to 6:30 instead of 5 to 6. And our guest next week will be David Goetz, the University of Pennsylvania heads men's tennis coach. This should be a great show, too. Dave does an awful lot of things, and a great individual, and I think you will enjoy that show. But just a reminder that it is at 5:30 to 6, not at 5. And, of course, you'll be able to call in at 714-583-6853 and ask questions if you wish, just like you will today with our guest today. Our guest today is Linda LeClaire, and I'm always hesitant to say this, but I've been blessed to know her for many years. In saying that, just remember that I'm much older than most people. So she's a wonderful lady, but I don't want to get people mad at me for leaving the impression that my guests are as old as I am. But I am blessed to know her. One of the enjoyments we get at going to the PTR Symposium in Hilton Head is getting to see Linda and her husband, Dr. Bryce Young, and, of course, their presentations at the PTR. If you're not taking them, then you're really missing something. The only negative I found of Dr. Bryce Young's presentation this year was that I had to stand for an hour almost in the hallway because the room the PTR provided was too small for the overflow crowd that we had. But let's get to our guest. I see she has called in. Before she comes on, I would like to tell you a little bit about Linda. She's an author. She's a mental coach, but she's also produced two books that, truthfully, I've used numerous times. Those of you that know me know that I'm not a big trophy person. I give books out rather than trophies, and I use her books, and I'm proud to say the coach that replaced me this year at the high school is also using the two books as the books he's given this year. So a tradition is going to live on. But if you haven't read Yes, God Speaks to Women Too, her first book, I think it's a fantastic read. I've had people email me from college telling me when things got a little tight, they had time with the distractions to read the book, and it was a big help to them. And, of course, her book, The Confidence Factor, is a book that I'm sure I'm not the only one that in doing their presentations are use the contents for that continuously. I mean, I've been using it since it came out. Linda, are you there?
I am here. How are you? I'm glad to talk with you today.
I'm glad to talk to you, Linda. It's a pleasure. Unfortunately, with you being so busy at the PTR this year and the running around, we didn't get time to spend as much time as we normally do. And I'm sorry about that because it's precious time to me. Before I ask you some questions, I would like to, and I think he said it best, Dennis Walter is a Minnesota Basketball Hall of Fame coach. And in the confidence factor, he says, no single human quality in the outcome of our life is more important than one's level of confidence. Confidence determines how we meet the challenges we face in life. The confidence factor gives the readers insight on how you can tap into confidence and use it to reach your lifetime goals. This book is a must read. I think I used that phrase, and you've had many other people that have given reference to it, but I think he really summed it up best, and I use that phrase a lot when I tell people, go read the book. Linda, I really appreciate you being on, and how are things in Hilton Head?
Okay, well, first of all, it's my pleasure to be on here. I am so honored that you've invited me to speak with you and your audience today. And as far as things here in Hilton Head, it is green and beautiful, as always. I feel like I live in paradise.
That is a nice thing. It always amazes me that I always tell people one of the smartest women I've ever met. And then I question myself and I say, why does she go to Minnesota so much in the wintertime? I love Minnesota in the summertime, but I must admit I've become a wimp in my old age. I can't take the cold at all.
No, well, I think I've told you our daughter and grandchildren and much of my family is up in Minnesota. So family brings us back there for the holidays. Otherwise, I think I would be up there a lot less in the winter, for sure.
Well, family is important, and and I've always, I think, I don't know if I got it from you or just from my parents before, but I just always believe family, and I always believe that coaching, I say it often that high school tennis especially is more than a tennis coach and tennis players and parents. It's about a community and trying to build a community together. And one of the biggest challenges of the high school coach is trying to build family out of the group of young men and young women that decided to play tennis.
Oh, I love that you are saying that, and I know that that's a huge focus that you have. And when I talk with young people and work with them, one of the things that I always bring up to them is about building community within their group of peers and supporting each other, that even though they may be across the net from them in competition, they can still be friends and they can still treat each other with respect and honor each other as competitors. And I just think that if we don't do that with tennis and other sports, we're really missing out because it's the perfect opportunity to teach that kind of character and respect building.
Yes, and too often, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just that too often the philosophy is that you can't be friends with your opponent. You can't be friendly with your opponent. And I know that Federer has gone a long ways to dispelling that notion, but it still is really out there and has to be supported by coaches and by parents and by players themselves, that it doesn't take away from competition. In fact, it can make it so much more enjoyable. Just being able to go out there and give it you everything you have and then win or lose, go out to dinner that night with your opponent. I think that's really a great thing to be able to learn to do. And, you know, we hear so much arguing on the news, on TV, and people have different, you know, we all have different opinions and ideas and the way of seeing things, but being able to respect each other and respect each other's differences is makes one's life so much more enjoyable.
I couldn't agree more. Remember, it wasn't that many years ago, I don't think more than 6 or 7 years, although they run into together sometimes, that a young lady from another school that I helped get a scholarship to a small school and playing, and she wound up, one of my girls was on the team too, and getting an email about halfway through the season, what a great teammate the other one was, and I wish I knew that when we were in high school. So sometimes when, you know, you and I preach the same philosophy sometimes, but you wonder sometimes, is the message getting along? And when you hear some, you get that kind of response back, you figure, well, you know what, I'm going to keep preaching it because it is rewarding.
Oh, yeah, and I definitely know that athletes are hearing that today, and I think they like hearing it. I think they would much rather have a good relationship with their peers than not to have that relationship. It's pretty lonely out there if you can't be friends with the people you're playing and competing with. You know, I'm also an energy coach, and from an energy perspective, things like respect and appreciation and friendship, those are all higher level energies, and they actually help us to play better. When we respect our opponent and are sincere in that respect, it actually raises our energy level. And so it's not only, you know, to me, the right thing to do, but it's also a very good thing. It's good for us to do that. Having that kind of fear of our opponent or disrespect for our opponent actually lowers our energy level. And so it hurts us. It actually hurts us. And sometimes we can feel it. Other times we're not sensitive enough to feel it. But once you start really tuning into your energy, you feel different when you're expressing respect and appreciation for your opponent as opposed to disrespect or ignoring or, you know, some of the behaviors that we see in sports today.
You think there's times, and I plead guilty to it, that some days your energy is just a little less than other days, and sometimes I try to think back and where I spent the energy. You think those days when your energy is just a little lower, is that subconsciously you were using some of that energy in a negative way?
That's a great question. One of the things that I teach early on when I'm working with an athlete is about their energy and the fact that we all have an energy frequency. Our energy vibrates at a certain frequency. And the higher that vibration is, the better we perform, the better we feel. The lower the vibration, the worse we perform and the worse we feel. So now getting back to your question, why on some days do we, you know, feel better and other days not as good? Well, that goes to the question of what raises one's frequency. And it's something that we have total control over, which is what makes it so exciting. What raises our frequency, our vibration, is one, our mood. And our mood is tied to the thoughts, the images that we run through our mind constantly. You know, over and over again, we're thinking certain thoughts and have certain images. And the next thing is our emotions. So if our emotions are love-based, meaning emotions such as confidence, trust, patience, determination, happiness, belief, forgiveness, joy, those kind of things, they raise our frequency. And then this is also a very important thing, feeling that we're on a mission, feeling that we're on our path, that we belong, that raises our frequency. So what lowers our frequency is just the opposite. It's the negative thoughts that go through our mind, are those images that we repeat over and over and play over and over again. The emotions are fear-based. We have anger, disbelief. We're fearful, unforgiving. We're sad, frustrated, distrust, doubt. Those kind of emotions lower our frequency. And, very important, we feel like we're not on a mission. We've lost that sense of mission in our life, that we're not on our path, and that we don't belong. Now, in those days when we feel our energy has gotten low, now, if it's not related to just being physically tired, being hungry, being injured or sick, it is going to be related to our emotions, our thoughts, or our spirit, our feeling of not being on a mission, not being on our path, not really belonging. So if you feel like at the end of the day you're really drained, but it's not that healthy, good, tired feeling, it's more of a drained feeling, then when you look back at the day, you'll probably notice that you had gone into some of these lower level frequencies and that brought your energy down. And boy, as a coach, you got to work on this all the time. You got to be aware of where you're putting your focus, where you're putting your attention, what you're doing with your energy in order to be at the top of your game, so to speak. You have to, the way you approach each person that you're working with that day, if you're approaching them with respect, if you're approaching them with total attention, it makes a huge difference in how you keep your energy at a high level. Now, that's a long answer, but it's part of what you're feeling when your energy feels drained.
Well, I don't think it's a long answer at all. I think it's an important answer, and I think it's something that we do have to remind ourselves of, and I'm one of those people that
Before you go out to coach, before you are talking to someone, that quick, clear intention of where you're going to come from with this person or with this team or with this lesson. I mean, I do that before every single appointment I have. I make sure that my intention is clear, that I'm here to help them reach their dreams, their goals, and that everything that we do together is on that path. And I wouldn't go into an appointment without making sure I'm in that space before I meet with them.
No, I agree, and I think it's so important. And I think one of the things that are so important is that I always look when going out on the tennis court to teach as I'm putting on a performance, and I have to sit there and have a plan, but I must listen and understand, you know, what I'm facing here. And I'm not so sure in our society today, and maybe it's just wishful thinking, I think we were better before, maybe we weren't, but are we good listeners? I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, that's such a good point. You know, we often want to jump in and give advice or suggestions before we've really heard what the concern is and what they finding out what they really need. And teenagers really need to be heard. And I think in general, we don't give them that. We don't listen enough. And some of it is just, you know, we only have so much time here. And so we've got to, you know, we're impatient to get done what we need to get done. But if at the beginning of a practice that a clear intention can be set and, you know, a few moments to make sure everybody's on the same page, everybody's right here in this moment, can make a huge difference. Because they've come from, well, you don't know what they've come from. They've had maybe a hard day at school, maybe they've had a fight with friend or with parents, something's wrong. They have a lot that they're dealing with. And when they come to you, if we don't help them to get in the moment by helping them to set a clear intention of what they want to do during the practice or the training session, these outside things that they're dealing with will come into the practice. And that will make it harder on the coaches because they won't have their full attention.
Right.
So, and listening is sometimes more than just hearing the words. It's seeing their body language, noticing, you know, like some athletes are going to be very quiet. They're not going to speak up, but you can tell by their eyes and their body language maybe that they're having a tough day or they're feeling left out or not understood. And just being able to give them just a moment's attention where you're tuning into them makes all the difference to them. I mean, I hear this from our clients all the time about the good things that the coach has done that I'm sure the coach didn't even realize that the fact that he or she looked them in the eye and really wanted to know how they were. You know, how are you today? And really wanted to know. Not that they're going to, you know, tell you everything in that moment, but just the very fact that you exchange that little moment, that small moment of giving them that attention makes a difference.
True, and sometimes I think as coaches, you know, we're looking, I guess we're all guilty of looking to solve things and we don't really know. I imagine that in both books, in God Speaks to the Woman 2 and The Confidence Factor, you talk about energy traps. So evidently it's an important enough subject. And I'm just curious about, I have two curiosities. I have my own favorite. I was wondering, number one, do you have a favorite between the two books?
Oh. Well, I wrote Yes, God Speaks to Women 2 first, and really am amazed when I look back and reread it or look through it just to read some of the summaries at the end, how clear it is and how it goes right to the point about how to dissolve any fear. And so I really like that part of Yes, God Speaks to Women too, that it's really talking and teaching about moving out of fear and coming from love. And that, to me, go on.
They're both great books, and truthfully, I've read The Confidence Factor a few times, but other than the Bible, I don't know of any other book I've read more often than Yes, God Speaks to Women. And I've often said, and I think I've said it to you before, the former life I was in law enforcement and went to college late in life and was thinking about becoming a psychiatrist. And if you had written the book back then, I might have went that route instead because I think what you did is fantastic, Div.
Well, thank you. I feel it is a gift as well. And I say that really as if it's not a book I wrote, because it feels like it came through me. And so I'm honored when you say how much you appreciate the book. That's very rewarding for me, and I'm glad it's out there. And you know, I wrote that a long time ago, and I think it's even more important today than when I wrote it.
I agree, and I was I said I think at the beginning, and I'm so happy, and it kind of makes when you're 20 years with one school, and it's hard to leave, but I felt it was time. I had other things I had to do. And seeing the new coach ask about, you know, giving books, and then when he made recommendations, I told him these two books. I do think, I guess coaches are never satisfied. I think eventually he chose the books, one for the woman and one for the boy. But he has to find his own way. I think what he's going to see is that, you know, both of them are excellent choices. I come from a basketball background, and when, you know, Bobby Clemens wrote in the book, and you and Bryce Woodward, and, you know, when the National Coach of the Year talks about the confidence factor, I think that both books, there is no gender thing there, but I would just tickled pink that the tradition of going out and giving books, and that he agreed that these were worthwhile books to give. And how can other people get their books? I think you should mention that.
Oh, yeah. Just go to our website at lyndaleclaire.com, and they can order the books right using PayPal. So it's just lyndaleclaire.com.
And go in there, they can also find your other services, because you are a mental coach or an energy coach, whatever the term is. And I think it's, in my own mind, I think this is the next frontier in coaching. I know we're years away, but as you know, I do, and I've been trying to get you and Dr. Young down for a while, but the time just doesn't work for the Florida high school tennis coaches for our workshop. And about 10 years ago, people would say, well, why are you bringing sports psychologists in? What is it when, you know, but it's about the tennis stroke and the forehand and this. And the impression was that this starts in college or it starts in the pros. And as, you know, when I think back of my youth and how bad it was, you know, God, I wish somebody at that time had introduced it. But I don't get those arguments no more now as it's part of our curriculum, I think. It might not be as appreciated as much, but I don't get the arguments no more. Why are you doing that? So I guess it's a beginning.
Yeah. I think people are very open now to sports psychology and understanding that the mental and emotional part of the game is so important. If you don't have that, it doesn't really matter how good you are physically. When you get challenged, you're not going to know what to do if you haven't been trained mentally and emotionally how to handle those situations. I mean, in some ways we're seeing it a bit with Nadal right now, who is so extremely gifted physically and has worked so hard on his physical game, and now is being challenged. And, you know, coming back from injuries is always a challenge. And we hear things from him like, he actually says, I've lost a lot of confidence. And, of course, I know that you can never lose confidence. You just don't ignite your confidence. But he doesn't know that. He sees confidence as coming from playing well and from winning and being training hard. And so now he's getting challenged, and you hear him talking about, I got nervous out there. and not really knowing what to do. His response is, well, I'll just keep working on it and working on it, and eventually I'll get it. And I think eventually he will get it. But usually athletes don't want to take that long, and that's where working with an energy coach, a mental coach, helps immensely, because we can get them through this experience now quickly. It doesn't have to take so long. Another thing that Nadal talked about after one of his matches recently that he had lost was, I don't have any more. I didn't have that power behind my shots that I usually have. And when you don't have the power behind your shots, it's because your energy is not 100% behind that shot, which means that your focus is somewhere else. And in listening to several interviews over the last few weeks, it's obvious that he doesn't understand, that he doesn't know what is going on. And he'll keep working physically, and he's talented enough, he's strong enough physically that he can beat a lot of people. But now he's coming up against challenges and doesn't know what to do. So, you know, we see it at every level, how important it is to know how to use your energy effectively, how to use your mind effectively and your emotions when you're competing, and especially when you're having problems, when you're not playing well. That's when you really need this kind of training. And it is training. It's not just, you talk once with somebody and that's it. No, because there's a lot more to it, and it's really an exciting adventure for athletes once they start in this area.
And it's a continuous adventure, I think, and not just for the athlete, but I think for the coach. I remember, it wasn't that long ago, I called you for advice because in the WTA on the women's side, I thought a coach that did a good job, and one of the pros and cons of the coaching and being called to the courts, did what I would have done. And I asked, what sounds like a simple question, was he right or was he wrong? And you said, you thought he handled it right. And I said, well, what could he have done better? And you added one dimension to it, and I'm saying, dummy, why didn't you think of that? And I think it's a continuous thing, and why we continuously need people like you. And I think I wonder if sitting next to the head coach on the basketball court, my first love is basketball, or on the tennis court, is going to be the energy coach. Because what do you do at that point? You don't have time to change somebody's strokes. You don't have time to, especially in tennis more than any other sport. I mean, your changes, you're not going to make, in my opinion, successful changes at that time.
No, and that's the whole point, is that it really is not about their strokes or their technique or even their strategy. I mean, once in a while it is, but it's generally, for somebody who's been playing and trained a long time, that's not what it is. It's that they've gone into fear. And fear is blocking or scattering their energy. And so if their energy is blocked, then you just need to help them unleash their energy again, to unblock it. And so if an energy coach, if I was sitting there courtside, I would be, first of all, I would be talking to the player just about, okay, take a deep breath. And that's always the first step, take a deep breath, all right? And, you know, helping them to get out of their fear, their energy trap, and getting back into confidence. Now, if you haven't already established rapport and some level of training, you're limited in how much you can do. But one thing that you can do, even if they haven't had a whole lot of training, is transfer your energy to them by approaching them from a place of confidence. So you're coming from love, they're coming from fear, and you want to move them out of the fear. Okay, so your energy has to be totally in sync with confidence. All right, so you approach them and you say, okay, take a deep breath. You just went into a little bit of fear here. All we have to do is take a deep breath and start focusing again on the fundamentals. Keep your feet moving. In tennis, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball, on the contact point, and just hustle your butt, all right? You can do this. And the way you say it, it isn't an urging, trying to, you know, talk them into it. You say it in a matter-of-fact way that you know you're coming from a place you know they can absolutely do this. And so you're telling them something that they have 100% control over, and that they can do it, and they start focusing on that, and then they can come out of the fear. I mean, one time when I was back coaching college tennis, I had a girl on the team, a woman on the team, who was crying. And, of course, she was not playing real well. And so I went out to her, and she looked at me, you know, and she just was so upset, and I had no idea why she was upset. I just knew we needed to move her energy out. And I told her to just do the mantra, I can do this, I can do this. I said, that's all I want you to do. That's all I want you to think. And she just looked at me and, okay, you know, and she went back to the line and I could see she was doing it, you know. She was just thinking, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And bless her heart, I mean, she pulled it out and pretty soon she was in just that hyper-focus, and that's all she was, if she was thinking anything, that's all she was thinking. And she ends up pulling out the match and winning. And afterwards she said to me, was that all it took? No. Well, it was, maybe it was a little bit more, you know, underneath it, because of, I knew, you know, how I was approaching her with my energy, and I knew what I was doing. But in effect, yes, that was it. It was just shifting from fear to love. And in that case, that worked. And, you know, as a coach, you need to be able to read what's going to work for each player because you know them. And I knew that would work for her. Another player, it might be something else. But not far from that, not, you know, not that complicated. It's always going to be something simple and pretty fundamental and basic.
Well, like you said, it should be continuous, and it has to be continuous training for the coach, and it has to be, there has to, you, there's a lot of people know a statement or two they can make, but if you're not doing it continuously, if it's not part of your agenda that you're trying to project, that would the road you're looking to travel, and this is part of the journey, are they going to believe you? And I think that's where especially trained people like yourself is important, and that's where you can help our profession, because I do think coaching tennis is unlike on the other sport. I mean, I came from the basketball, and while it might not be popular, I think people have to remember it was a different generation, but I threw a chair out on the floor before Bobby Knight did, and people say, oh, what an animal, you know, what kind of message does this send and everything. But when you're talking about young athletes and you sense that things are about ready to explode, and you don't want, and you've been able to interject and put another player in and pull them out and try to calm them down, put them back, and now their perception is they're being treated wrongly and they're ready to explode. Part of my strategy, and I believe I should get the technical foul and not one of my players. And my players always knew, God help you if you get a technical foul. But, you know, if it was the wrong thinking or not, it was my thinking. It was all right for me, but not for you. And I had a, you know, Mitchell's not calling in. He knew me well enough. He knew what I was doing. And he's saying, not this time, Coach Denise. I'm running the show. And finally I threw a chair out where nobody could get hurt across from the thing. And but my son, actually, I think was 5 or 6 at the time, and sitting on the bench, and he just technically said, "Now that's a technical." And the official, you know, called the technical. Well, in tennis, you can't substitute. You can't, you know, while there's no more throwing chairs, it's not acceptable. But you can't protect the player. You have to help the player.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you mentioned Coach Kremens, and he would have us always sit behind the bench so we could observe and give him feedback after games about what we saw, and he also wanted us to observe him. I mean, he was so open and always wanting to grow and improve, which was so impressive with, you know, somebody with that much experience. But I remember during a match, we were at the end of the game, and it was just going down to the wire. And he called a timeout, and he looked at everybody, and he just smiled this big smile, and he kind of had a little laugh, and he said, "Boy, I love this game. This is why I coach." And I could just see the players relax, and, you know, because it was – they were going to go in, and what they did was going to determine who won the game. And by gosh, they went out and they made the shot and ended up winning the game. But I just thought that was the perfect response at that moment to just relax them. And then he went and told them the play they were going to do. They were all listening. There wasn't one player that was in any kind of fear by that point, because he had just lowered that stress level by, "I love this. This is why I'm coaching."
And that's why he was the National Coach of the Year. I mean, it was, I always thought he was a great coach, too. That must have been a special feeling for you and Bryce to be working with him.
Oh, we have so many fun stories, and Coach Kremens comes over, and we like to talk about, you know, the 6 years we were together working with his teams, and, I mean, we have so many fun stories, and, you know, I had introduced the energy traps to Coach Kremens, and he, of course, had never heard of them before, and the team hadn't heard about them before, but boy, did he love them. He just saw how they would pop up and how they would affect the player, and he respected that he would go into his own energy traps and wanted to know how to get out of it. And, you know, it was really fun. We had one experience where we had just taught the team about energy traps, and we had been out to dinner with them and talked to them, and they were really excited about it. And the next game they were playing was going to be on ESPN, so it was going to be a huge game. We had one of the players just was so, he wanted to really play well. Well, during the game, he goes up for a basket, and he gets blocked. Okay. Well, he goes up again, same move, he gets blocked again. He got blocked 7 times in that game. So, but the team won. The team won, but he got blocked. Anyway, after the game, well, I think it was the next day, when I was talking with him, and I said, "Well, didn't you have any other moves that you could have used?" And he, like, turns and looks at me, and he's like, "Well, yes, of course I have other moves." And then he just, like, in mid-sentence, he stops, and he says, "That's what you meant by stubbornness." Stubbornness is when you're doing the same thing over and over again and it's not working, you know. And, I mean, he had it in his face, but bless him, that took care of it. I mean, he understood, and it never happened again. So we had so much fun.
Everybody gets the message at different times and in different ways, so that's fantastic.
Yeah. So we have a good time, and that's the whole thing, is when you learn about yourself and what's keeping you from achieving, you know, what blocks you get into. Another energy trap is self-deprecation, which is the fear of not being good enough. I see a lot of athletes who have that fear. And once they learn that that's really just them going into fear, it really isn't about them not being good enough. It's about them being afraid they're not good enough. And that then we can talk about that. We can, you know, I can teach them how to get out of it and then how to be alert for if they start going into it when they're competing.
Can you give an example of that, Linda?
Yeah, a good one with self-depth is let's say two players are competing and it's 4-4 in the first set and they just are having a great match. Well, the player with self-depth, if he or she goes into the trap, which is the fear, they start thinking, oh, I don't know if I can keep this up. I don't think I can keep this intensity up, and I don't know if I'm good enough to keep. Those are the kind of thoughts I had. I don't know if I'm good enough to keep this up, and because they go into thinking now that I'm not good enough, their energy drops, and all it has to do is drop a little bit for their opponent to be able to go through the door, so to speak. It gives their opponent the opportunity to then break serve at 4-4 and go on to win the set. And they will think, if they don't know about energy traps, they'll think, yeah, well, I wasn't good enough. Where it was it was fear that they weren't good enough. Because that also meant they stopped hustling. They weren't, their eyes were not on the point of contact. You know, the fundamentals, they aren't deep breathing anymore. All of that stopped when we're in fear, and we don't connect the dots correctly. We think, oh, I'm really not good enough, when in actuality, it was only because you went into fear and, in effect, you gave up.
Very good. Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it's sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you see a person playing the whole point and you see they're not breathing through the whole time. And it's only a matter of time before, there's just going to be exhaustion set in there. And you remind them, breathe. And, you know, they look at you, know. But that's a great point.
And they think they look across the net during the warm-up and their opponent is, you know, hitting the ball really well. It's a warm-up, you know, and they right away are thinking, oh, my gosh, he's so good. I don't know if I can beat him. You know, it's like they've already lost before they've even gone out there. And so just understanding and learning about how that affects one's performance and that there's different techniques that you can learn to help you keep your energy strong and to dissolve any anxiety you might have or the nervousness, the fear that you can't close out a match, those kind of things are things that we work with our clients and teach them how to do these techniques when they really need them.
Can you give one item that you can you know, and I know there's 6,485 of them or more, but one item that you could just say, if you were going to, me in trying to sit there and help a coach, what advice, what can you give to that coach? And the same thing, which is just important, because I believe it's not just a player at this level especially, and a coach, it's the parent, and one piece of information you would give the parents?
Okay, for the coach, it's actually the same thing I give to a player, is the coach is to first, I'd remind them that they really do make a difference in their players' lives, in their day, and to treat that with the respect that it deserves. And then to approach your coaching with full effort, you know, that you put everything into it. It feels better to put everything into it than to hold back. You get energy from doing that. That your attitude, treating your players with respect and really caring about them is will make a difference. And you're, by doing this, then all that expertise you have for coaching will come out. But you have to start with kind of the basics, energy-wise, that you know, that you're totally there, you're committed to this moment, you're totally in it, that you care. I mean, that comes out. You really care about these people and that you treat them with respect. And, you know, that sometimes that doesn't happen with coaches. And I don't think they always realize that they show disrespect to their players by the way they talk to them or ignore them, or, you know, that's how it feels to the player anyway. And it's important. I mean, just if you have that going for you, then you're going to be coming from a place of strength. And then what you know, you can transfer and teach to the athlete. So basically that would be one thing, you know, I think is very important for coaches. And, you know, this is what we hear from players is the coach doesn't care about me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I know coaches, and I know coaches care. I mean, you wouldn't be in this doing this if the coach didn't care about the players. I mean, it just is part of being a coach, you know. But sometimes we don't really show it, or if we're not doing really well, we don't show it. But for them, it's magnified. It's their day with you. It affects them. They do hear the things you say to them or the things you don't say to them, you know. So
I think it's important. I have my own philosophy. I tell new coaches probably the most important thing and the hardest thing for you to learn is to say no. And a lot of times the kids aren't used to hearing no. So you have to be the one to say no for it to be accepted, because it is a strange thing for them. You have to continuously show love, and then you better do that continuously. Otherwise, no is just going to be that you're a mean old man, or you're just a woman that doesn't understand, or whatever. So you better have a true love for the game and for the students, and you better express it continuously, because a good coach, I think, has to say no a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's such a good point, John. That is, if they know that you care about them, they can accept no so much easier, and they don't put opinions on it. They don't make it personal. But if they don't think that you care about them, they do make it personal.
Right.
Now, you asked about parents.
Do we dare take on the parent, or is that, I know we're running down on time, but can we address one more thing? I'm going to have you on another time, because I have a question from my wife, too, that I didn't get to. But how about the parent? Can you, something short on that?
Yeah, you know, and this to me is real obvious, but parents forget it, is when they're watching their kids compete, that they need to really focus on the love they have for the child, not whether the child is winning or losing. You know, watching them from a place of love instead of a place of fear. When we are watching our children from a place of fear, that's when we're focused on, are they winning or losing? And it's so much more than about winning or losing when our kids are competing. They're learning so much. They're getting so much out of the experience that goes way beyond whether they won or lost. And so coming from that place when they watch their kids, you know, really not, really sincerely, it not being about whether they won or lost, but, you know, watching their attitude and enjoying how much fun they're having playing. Being in that state where you are comfortable watching your child because you love watching them. It's just fun to watch them play. I mean, I know with my own children and now with my grandchildren, I, you know, just, it is just the best thing in the world watch them go out there and compete, and even if it's a hard thing they're going through, and yes, you can hurt for them, but you can also, you know, just love that they're getting that experience in such a safe environment, something that they can learn from and grow from. So,
go ahead.
Focus on love.
I couldn't agree more. Linda, I can't thank you enough, and the audience is starting to learn what a pain I am. You already know, but you know we have unfinished business here. We're going to have to look at your schedule and look at mine, because I need you on the show again, because one of the things, my wife was going to call in, and we kind of got used to her calling in, and she said she was enjoying it, walked in, and she handed me her question, and we don't have time. So we're going to have to, you and I are going to have to get together, because I have to spend some time talking about thanking people for our All-Star event. But I can't thank you enough, and please tell the audience one more time where to get your books, because shame on them if they don't read them.
Oh, okay. It's very easy. Just go to our website, lindaleclaire.com.
Okay. Linda, God bless you, and please, I will be talking to you in the next couple of days, because we have to get your schedule in mind, because we have unfinished business here. I mean, this is just too important and too good. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you, and God bless you.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen, and students. I found out at the All-Star Tournament, I was blessed to have a couple young ladies talk about the show. It caught me a little off guard, high school seniors, but it shouldn't have caught me off guard. Even coaches continuously learn, because that's one of the reasons they were at the All-Star Tournament. Not only that they were special tennis talent, but because they're special people. And before I close, I have to thank Team Connection Tennis for providing the uniforms for the players and the coaches. It's always nice to look good when you're playing there. I have to thank Winter Park Tennis Facility. It's not only a great place to play tennis, but with their 16 courts there, it's also a great place to watch tennis. And it's, if you get a chance to go to a tournament out there, by all means, you want to go. Or if you just want to spend a leisurely day hitting on hard or on clay courts, go to Winter Park Tennis Center. It's part of the greater Orlando area, and it's a beautiful place. Wilson Tennis, there's a reason that they're over 100 years old. I mean, let's face it. I know most people aren't as old as. When I was growing up, there was only two things you knew. You knew Wilson or you knew Champion. Probably still, I'm not sure Champion's still around, but Wilson is over 100 years old. And we're very thankful for them. And not only are they provider that we use their tennis balls for all our activities, but they provided goodie bags for all the players and coaches again. And at the end of our workshop in December, they will be presenting Coach of the Year awards to the high school tennis coach in each of the FHSAA four categories, 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A. So if your coach, if you feel they deserve that, please go to the website, WFHSTCA.org. Nominate your coach. And especially thanks to Dean Street Insurance. When we lost our financial supporter for the last couple of years, Dean Street Insurance took a much bigger role, stepped up to the plate, and because of them, able to continue on. District 15 NJTL has been a part of this from the beginning. Dr. Roxanne Malone, dentistry, which is a big part of District 15 NJTL, with my wife Bobby, provided lunches for the players. We can't thank all of the people enough. So please tell your friends about next week's show. We will have the University of Pennsylvania coach on there. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of good advice. And you get a chance to thank the people that have supported our organization. Please do it. And if you don't have Dean Street in your community, by all means, go to www.deanstreetinsurance.com and you'll find Dean Street there. Thank you for listening. Please have a safe and blessed week, and I look forward to talking with you again next week. And I promise you, one way or the other, we're going to get Linda LeClaire back on, because one of those people that truly, she's a great mental coach, because she does understand energy so well. And if you haven't read her books, please read them, because they are not only great reading, but they're useful books, and they're books that, there's certain books that I go back to, and those two books are two of them. Thank you, and we will talk to you next week at 5:30 to 6:30. Have a blessed week. Take care, and we'll see you later.